Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio today is my co-host, Dr. Les Olala. Doc, we've been talking in our last number of broadcasts with a fascinating guest, Dr. Tom Farrell, who is here at Northland this week doing a week of evangelistic meetings for us, our revival meeting. And we were talking in our last broadcast about really something very, very significant about conscience. And I know that immediately before this broadcast, you and I and Tom were talking about a particular aspect of that. And before I just turn it over to you to kind of get us going on that, let me mention to you who are listening that Brother Farrell has a website, and you can access that website at www.farrellministries.org. And you can go on that website and find out where Brother Farrell is going to be and track him and pray for him. There are also a number of resources that will be available there that you can download or order, and I know it will be a great blessing to you.
As a matter of fact, we just produced our first CD entitled Lift Up the Cross. It's the Farrell Trio, my son, his wife, and my wife, and it's beautifully done.
Well, Brother Les, we were talking about conscience, and I know maybe there's some ideas that you have in terms of where we can go today with that.
Well, I believe it would be good for us to follow up and crystallize what does it mean to violate your conscience, and what are ways that a conscience can be violated. We've touched last time a little bit on the victory of a good conscience, but I'd like to focus in this broadcast on the violating our conscience.
Well, we spoke about Acts 24:16, where Paul declares, "Herein do exercise myself to have a conscience always void of offense toward God and toward man." The word offense, as we mentioned in the last broadcast, means that there is a beating upon, a coming against, a violation of that which God placed inside of us. It's my conviction that conscience was birthed in the garden after the first sin. When Adam and Eve were sinless in a utopian environment, they had no need of conscience. They were naked and they were unashamed. But the moment they sinned, conscience stepped on the scene to begin to preach. I believe that conscience is sent both to commend godliness and to condemn ungodliness. You remember, I'm sure, that when David sinned by cutting the robe of Saul, that his heart was smitten during that time. You also remember the religious leaders who, though they were not saved, did have a conscience that had been set by the law. And when they brought the woman taken in adultery, Jesus wrote on the ground, which I believe he probably wrote their sins, one at a time they left because their conscience was smitten. So when you do right, your conscience says, amen. But when you do wrong, it is also the official that blows the whistle to say you're out of bounds. I personally believe there's three ways that you violate your conscience. First is by setting it incorrectly. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 14, the Bible says, "For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by the nature of the things contained in the law, these having not a law are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience," or inner traveling judge, courtroom of the soul,
right,
"also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel." Now, gentlemen, we've all had the experience of setting our alarm clock incorrectly. You were going to take an afternoon nap. You wanted to take it for about 15 minutes. You thought you set it for 3 p.m. You actually set it for 3 a.m. You got up, went about your business, and you were blessed at 3 a.m. the next morning by getting blown out of bed by the alarm. Well, it is not the alarm's fault. It was set incorrectly. We discussed some time ago, how is it 19 terrorists can mount 4 airliners, go into 2 trade towers, the Pentagon, and end up in Pennsylvania with a plane gone down? How could they do that? Someone said to me one time, "Osama bin Laden is an idiot." I said, "No, he is not an idiot. He is a satanic genius. You do not network across this world terrorism like he's doing without being a satanic genius." But he is in jihad. What is that? Holy war. Where did he get that? The Quran. Who is he working for? Allah. He believes that Muhammad is his prophet. He is completely convinced in his own mind that as he eliminates the infidels, by the way, gentlemen, that's the three of us and on the listening in, every born-again believer, those who don't buy into Allah, the Quran, etc., we are infidels. So if the infidels will not convert to Muslim, to being a a Muslim, then they must be eliminated. Therefore, he has set his conscience incorrectly, not with the Word of God, but with a worldly philosophy. How do abortionists kill hundreds of babies every year, which makes us sick when we think about it, and go drive their Beamers and get on their yachts and take off and do all the things that they do? You say, well, they don't have a conscience. No, they have a conscience, but they said it incorrectly. They said in a state school and were taught by another so-called physician that inside that woman, that is not a life, it's a lump. It isn't just simply a tissue. It is no different than removing the appendix. Well, we know that's a total lie. We study Psalm 139, and we know that God has carefully, wonderfully made us, and life comes at conception. We study Jeremiah 1. We study all these passages. We have set our conscience with the Word of God, but they have set it incorrectly. That's why I'd say to everybody on the listening end, you got to be careful what you hear and what you see, and the Word of God must be your filter so that you know exactly what God likes and dislikes, what He commends, what He condemns. And if you as a parent allow your children to feed their mind on corrupt DVDs, CDs ad nauseum, it is no wonder that they're opposing you, because they're setting their conscience incorrectly. So that's one thing. Number two, you can shirk your conscience irresponsibly. David did that. He was warned that this is the wife of Uriah. He knew that. David was a man after God's own heart. He had sung psalms and written them to God. And I'll guarantee you that alarm system was going off, but he shirked it. He took Bathsheba, he committed immorality with her, and then wouldn't confess his sin. And we noted from Psalm 32, 38, and 51 how under conviction he got. But he said, when I remain silent, in other words, I'm not going to admit this. My bones wax old. He said, God tried to get my attention. He made me sick. I was depressed. I was actually becoming feeble. There was a disease going through my body. And yet he still didn't confess his sin until Nathan, the God-called prophet, came in. And then David admitted that what he has done was wrong. Ananias and Sapphira shirked their conscience. They knew exactly that they were only giving part. They had kept back part. And Peter was not a modern-day seminarian trying to say something good is going to happen to you, and we always preach positive messages. He was an old-fashioned independent Baptist prophet who said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And there was so much conviction that came. Actually, what God did is rid his body, that local church, of two people who had shirked irresponsibly. The alarm system went on to send a signal to the rest of the church. By the way, when the alarm goes off in your life, you might want to listen, or you could go to the cemetery prematurely. You read in 1 Corinthians 11 the same thing. For this cause many are sick among you and some sleep. Yeah. And so it's a dangerous thing for a born-again believer to have God's Holy Spirit sending off the alarm, and we say no. We ought to say yes immediately when He speaks to us. He's lovingly trying to bring us back, saying, I care for you. I want you to know the blessings. I don't want you to know the conviction. Let's have communion. You come back to me. One of the most dangerous things a person can do is found in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Bible calls it a seared conscience. And so if you study your Bible, you can set your conscience incorrectly. You can shun or shirk your conscience irresponsibly, but you can also sear your conscience irreparably. I read chapter 4, verse 1, 1 Timothy. Now the Spirit speaks expressly in the latter days, some shall depart. The word is apostatize. They'll walk away from the faith. These are people who would say, I'm going to heaven, who would profess but not possess Jesus. They did not lose their salvation. There is no such thing. They left the profession of their salvation. The Bible goes on and says, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. See, if you don't believe the light, you're going to believe the darkness. And here's a key verse, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared or branded. The Greek term is cauterized, made insensitive with a hot iron. Folks on listening in are familiar with brands on an animal, on a cow. Well, if you were to rub your finger down where that thing has been branded, there's no sense there. There's no sensitivity to that. When you burn your finger and it swells up and it puffs up and gets that junk underneath, it's insensitive. We call it dead skin. Now, here's the danger. A person who is being convicted in a service and the Holy Spirit of God whispers, you're lost, says, no, I'm fine. They get into conviction just by hanging around Christians. Somebody witnesses to them. Any number of things. The Holy Spirit of God is saying, come to Christ, come to Christ, come to Christ. And they keep putting it off. And they will say, I'm religious, I've made my profession, I'm Baptist, Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, but they have never been converted. What they do not realize is one day their conscience will be cauterized, insensitive, branded, and they not only will not be saved, there come a point in time they cannot be saved. Mm. This is exactly what happened to Judas. 3.5 years in a Christian school's treasure student body, God spoke, and Judas smiled and prayed and even preached, and according to Matthew 10, cast out demons and did miracles and went to hell. And so it's very, very dangerous to be a professor and not a possessor. Mm-hmm. I told you guys about being over in Togo, Africa, and witnessing to the lead Muslim cleric who was there, who, by the way, was very open to the gospel, did not denounce, did not get upset with me, listened very carefully to the translators I presented the gospel. But out of the corner of my eye, I watched his assistant. And he was a cynic and a skeptic and mocked what I said. And I said to another evangelist, I said, there's something wrong with that guy. Well, before I left the room, I found out from the man who had taken us, the missionary, that the assistant to the Muslim cleric had gone through a Southern Baptist seminary all the way for his Master of Divinity degree and had studied the Bible in depth and had walked away and renounced everything and become a Muslim. Now, it's my conviction that that man is probably has a seared conscience. He is probably an apostate. It's interesting to me that when I was planting seed on the Muslim's heart's ground, he was not negative, nasty. But here's a man who knew everything I was saying, and he had renounced the faith and received Allah. Therefore, in my way of thinking, studying this passage of Scripture, his conscience was seared. Let me simply appeal to anybody on the listening end who has heard the gospel, been under conviction by the Holy Spirit of God. The most dangerous thing you will ever do in your life is say no to the Holy Spirit of God. When God speaks, immediately respond. You may be driving your car. You're so under conviction you can hardly see. Pull the car over, bow your head, and receive Jesus Christ and let him forgive you. Don't damn your soul by allowing your conscience to be insensitive to the things of the Holy Spirit of God.
I believe that that point right there in the violation of a conscience probably goes to the real issue of why have we not seen freedom within the church where there are believers who just have a freedom in their spirit. Maybe there is some violation and the conviction is there, but yet there is the shunning of that conviction and excusing away of that conviction. And it may mean a phone call. It may mean very humbling circumstances that have to take place to go to an individual to make restoration.
Tom, this has been a great topic, and thank you for sharing with us for the last number of broadcasts on conscience. Thank you for listening. We appreciate your prayers and your support. For those of you who send a gift of $10 or more in, we would be delighted to send you a copy of Dr. Olala's devotional journal, Manna.